Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
The NFL draft is now officially open.
All right, our final draft season of the year, and this is our preview of 2024 NFL draft season. John Schmelk, Tony Pauline with you. Our way too early look ahead at the players to watch as college football season kicks off in a few months in August. Tony's got a database. He's going to have seniors on there. I wonder if there's any underclassmen. We'll see. Tony, first of all, just give me an overview of what next year's draft class looks like as opposed to what this year's draft class looked like.
You know, you got to be very hopeful. And I'm surprised more teams didn't trade for draft capital in 2024 because, you know, this year's draft was hurt by underclassmen going back because of big NIL deals and even seniors going back for a second senior season, which is, you know, for NIL deals, which has wreaked havoc in the scouting community. Right now, I mean, usually at this point, Tom, I may have 300 to 400 guys in my database for the next draft. I already have 650 guys. I've got 650 guys in my database. 11 of them already have a first round grades. 74, 75, 76 have first, second, or third round grades. So the bottom line is this. You know, if it's a repeat of this year where you get underclassmen who go back because of NIL deals or guys who go back for a second senior season, as we did this year because of NIL deals, we could run into the same problem that we saw this past draft. Otherwise, if the players who are expected to enter the draft enter the draft and you don't have a lot of seniors go back for a second year, 2024 looks like it's going to be a pretty good darn year, a pretty deep year, really throughout all the rounds.
All right, let's go to quarterback, Tony, and it starts with Caleb Williams. I think we'd all be surprised if he wasn't the first overall pick next year. But it's not just him. Drake May out of North Carolina, and then you have it. And I think it's going to be a pretty deep class considering a couple guys went back to school this year, right?
Yeah, a very deep class. You know, Caleb Williams, you would expect him to be the first player selected. Then again, you know, we've seen through the years Sam Darnold and a bunch of other players, quarterbacks who were expected to go first, especially out of USC, Matt Barkley, you know, never ended up being the first pick of the draft. So, yeah, it looks like that, but let's remember history. Caleb Williams, Drake May of North Carolina has got a first-round grade. Quinn Ewers of Texas has got a first-round grade. Watch Mike Penix of Washington, who has turned into a dynamic quarterback since transferring from Indiana to Washington, really elevated his game. Will Rogers of Mississippi State, J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix of Oregon, who really, after leaving that mayhem in Auburn, has developed into a consistent passer, could have been a day-two pick, a late-day-two pick if he entered the 2023 draft. If he has a good year, I don't want to say first round's out of the question. Grayson McCall, Coastal Carolina, Ben Bryan, Cincinnati, Sam Hartman, Wake Forest, Devin Leary, who transferred out of North Carolina State, was highly rated coming into the 2022 season, had an injury. Spencer Sanders, Cameron Ward, Washington State, Connor Blazek, you know, Jaden Daniels of LSU was up and down at Arizona State, went to LSU, was up and down at LSU, really started to put it together at the end of the season. A lot of talent. Keith Slovis, who knows if he's going to develop. He's on, his 15th college ever by this time. JT Daniels, KJ Jefferson of Arkansas. A lot of talent, a lot of depth at the quarterback position.
And you mentioned Hartman, Wake Forest. He transferred to Notre Dame.
So teams
are going to see a lot of him this coming season.
And that shows you the mayhem with these transfers and these guys going back. What I do is, just so you know, is I keep them at their old school because when I go and do my film work this summer, Sam Hartman's still playing for Wake Forest.
That's right.
And then I will make the transition to the transfer to Notre Dame.
Makes sense. We had two running backs going in the first round this year, Tony. Anyone next year you think could sneak into the first round?
Not as deep next year. Not as top heavy next year. Could be deeper. Raheem Sanders of Arkansas, Trayvon Henderson of Ohio State, Elijah Green, North Carolina, Blake Corum goes back to Michigan after he has that injury. Braylon Allen of Wisconsin, Mayan Williams of Ohio State. I mean, these are all guys who project as day two picks. No Bijan Robinson. I don't think there's going to be any Jahmyr Gibbs who jumps out, but a good crop again of day two, even a deeper crop, I should say, of day two running backs next year.
Yeah, and we know about wide receiver Marvin Harrison Jr., possibly a top five pick, probably the top wide receiver in the class. Who else at that spot do you think can really work their way into the first round or even maybe the top 15?
Potentially his teammate, Egbuka. Marvin Harrison's teammate, who is a dynamic receiver, Xavier Worthen of Texas, is an outstanding receiver who's got some off-the-field issues. Troy Franklin of Oregon, Johnny Wilson of Florida State. Cornelius Johnson of Michigan decides to come back for a second senior season. Cornelius Johnson was graded by scouts as a potential day two pick coming into the 2022 season. Kind of fell off the radar, but he's got that potential. It kind of falls off. The receiver class, I'm not too excited about them. When you compare it to the quarterback and the running back class.
Yeah, I'll throw one other guy out there. I know there was a lot of chatter about him at the combine. Malik Nabers out of LSU. He had 1,000 yards last year. A lot of people think that he might be a big-time player next year as well. Tight end, Tony. Yeah. We know about the guy that's going to go first. You know, we talked about how great this tight end class was this year. Well, Brock Bowers, is a player that would have been picked first out of all the tight end crew even this year, and he's coming out. How deep does it go beyond him?
Yeah, it's not a bad class. It's not like the one we just experienced, but you mentioned Brock Bowers. Go back to Texas. Jatavion Sanders, a terrific tight end. That Texas offense should be off the wall. Iowa, again, has two tight ends. Luke Lachey, who played behind Sam Laporta, and Eric All, who transferred from Michigan. And All was highly rated coming into 2022. He was injured. He barely saw any playing time. Now he goes back to he follows his quarterback or his former quarterback to Iowa. Austin Stogner, who went from Oklahoma to South Carolina. Now he's back at Oklahoma. Cade Stover of Ohio State. Now you're talking, fourth round type area. Very reliable type of guy, Cade Stover. Brevin Spanford, who a lot of people thought was a middle-round choice from Minnesota this year, decides to go back for a second senior season. Doesn't have the same type of talent, but I think with Brock Bowers of Georgia and Jatavion Sanders of Texas, it's better at the top.
Oh, let's go to the offensive tackles here, Tony. One guy, Olu Fashanu, much like Bowers, he wasn't eligible this year. Fashanu was. He went back to school. I think there's a good chance he's the first tackle off the board. Then I know Notre Dame has a tackle that might have something to say about that. Your thoughts on the offensive tackle class?
If Fashanu enters the draft, this year's draft, he's the second offensive tackle off the board after Paris Johnson.
He might be the first, Tony. There's a shot.
He's potentially a top 10 pick. He's going to be a very early choice. I was told one of the reasons he went back last year was because of some late season injuries. I just hope the best for him. I hope he stays healthy. I hope he improves his game. If he does, he's going to be a very early pick in 2024. You mentioned Joe Alt of Notre Dame. Kingsley Suamataya of BYU. Alabama has another top-rated tackle in J.C. Latham. Miles Hinton from Stanford transferred to Michigan. Keep an eye on Miles Hinton. Jack Nelson of Wisconsin, a guy who I really like a lot. Jordan Morgan of Arizona. You're talking about all, day one, day two, day three types at this position. Later on, Zion Nelson has been up and down. I know a lot of people like Zion Nelson of Miami of Florida. I like him sometimes. I want to see the consistency. Mason Richmond of Iowa, decent tackle class. I think it's better at the top with Fashanu and Alt, similar type of depth as compared to this year.
We did not see any guards or centers go in the first round this year, Tony. Could any of them force their way into round one next year?
Possibly. If there is, it would be Andrew Ryan of Oklahoma, a dominant center who probably should have come out this year. People said if he came out this year, he would have battled to be the first center selected. And Oklahoma centers have had a lot of success. Bryce Foster, another center from Texas A&M. I have these guys as second-round picks right now. Cedric Van Pran of Georgia, another guy who, like Andrew Ryan, people thought, you know, if he entered the draft, he would have battled to be one of the first centers selected. I was told Van Pran struggled with that tragic car accident and losing his teammate. Cooper Beebe, a real good interior guard from Kansas State. Connor Colby of Iowa, another guy. Christian Mahogany from Boston College. Christian Mahogany coming into the 2022 season. People thought, you know, if he plays well and he enters the draft, he's a day two pick. He got injured in camp, never snapped, played it down. People forgotten about him. Jevion Cohn, another Alabama offensive lineman who grades as a day two selection.
All right, let's flip over to the interior offensive line, or rather the defensive side of the ball here, Tony, pardon me. Edge players, and this is another guy that could have came out this year but didn't. Jared Verse from Florida State, yeah, who's an Albany transfer. I guess maybe the leader in the clubhouse, their first edge player taken, but I know a lot of people also love Dallas Turner, the edge at Alabama, who they might even like more than Will Anderson.
I love Dallas Turner, but again, like Nolan Smith, I think Dallas Turner is being pigeonholed as an edge player where, you know, that's what Alabama asked him to do in 2022. Go back and watch the 2021 film when Dallas Turner was making plays in space, in pursuit, in coverage. Again, he's a Nolan Smith type where people are going to say, edge, edge, edge. Baloney. The guy is a terrific three-down player who can rush the edge or play in space. You're right about Jared Verse. It was very surprising to a lot of people that Jared Verse went back to Florida State. I think if he has if he builds upon what he showed in 2022, I think he's a guy who's going to really elevate his draft stock. Ohio State's got a lot of talent. JT Tuimoloa is projected as an early pick. Raylan Trice out of Washington. Washington has another player at linebacker we'll talk about. Is a guy who could go early as well.
All right, how about defensive tackles, Tony, the big boys inside?
Yeah, again, you know, look to Ohio State. If Ohio State gets the quarterback position right and fills in some holes on the offensive line, they're going to have a real good team next year. Should contend for the national championship. Michael Hall Jr. of Ohio State is projected as an early pick. Early pick now, I'm a little bit more conservative with my grades. So I give him a day two pick. He could go earlier. You look at Clemson, Tyler Davis and Ruke Okorora. I know I butchered that last name. Two guys who are going back for their senior season. Two guys who would have contended to be day two selections in this draft that just passed. Illinois's got a couple guys in Keith Randolph. I'm looking down my board here. That's about it. Not a lot at the top, but some guys that got great potential.
All right, how about linebackers, off-ball guys, Tone?
Yeah, I talked about Turner of Dallas Turner of Alabama, who's my highest-rated guy. Again, go back to Ohio State, Steel Chambers. You go Tommy Eichenberg, Jack Sawyer, who's more of your edge rusher, your jack player, Jeremiah Trotter of Clemson. I mean, a guy who was omnipresent, making plays for the Tigers last year. Zion Tupuoloa-Fatui of Washington, who – early on, 2 years ago, I thought he was going to be a star. He struggled with an Achilles injury. He showed flashes last year. He made the right move going back for another year. I think he has got day two potential. Leotua Latu of UCLA is a pass rushing linebacker who can also play in space. Cal Halliday of Michigan State. Curtis Jacobs of Penn State, who was entering the draft, didn't enter the draft. These are guys who are all going to be really good day two selections.
All right, let's go now to cornerback, Tony, where I know obviously teams are always looking for top-notch corners. You had four go in the first round in this draft. How does the first-round cornerback situation look next year? And, guys, I'm going to warn fans ahead of time, get ready for this. Right now, most people seem to have rated as a top corner a kid whose first name is legitimately Kool-Aid, just like the product. Cool hyphen aid McKinstry, cornerback out of Alabama. We're going to have fun with that one.
Hey, and he's going to have a lot of fun if he plays up to his potential, because he could be a first round selection. I like Jahad Carter of Syracuse, Chris Abrams Drain of Missouri, a guy who, if he had entered this year's draft, people thought he was a day two pick. He decides to go back, take an extra year of eligibility. He's actually going back for a senior season. I mean, and the hopes is that for Chris Abrams Drain, obviously, is that he goes from a day two pick to a first round choice. Kalen King of Penn State, Denzel Burke of Ohio State, Kamari Lassiter of Georgia, Tyreek Smith of Georgia. I still have hopes for Tyreek Smith. He's a guy who was dominant at West Virginia 2 years ago, transferred to Georgia in 2021, suffered a knee injury, really hasn't played too much. But you go back and you watch his early film at West Virginia, he was terrific. Cam Hart of Notre Dame is another guy to keep an eye on.
Interesting. All right, let's go to the safety spot. Then we'll kind of do kind of like an overall look at the class, Tony. Your thoughts of the safety position. Can anyone sneak their way into the first round this year, next year? This year, they did not.
You know, maybe if there's one guy, Javon Bullard of Georgia. Again, Georgia has another good safety. I think with him, it's going to be a matter of his testing, as we saw with Chris Smith. Andrew Makuba of Clemson is a guy to keep an eye on. Zeke Wheatley of Penn State, a guy who I absolutely love from Oregon, plays corner, plays safety. Trickwease Bridges, who is, I talked to some of his teammates this year when we interviewed him at the Shrine Game. They spoke glowingly of him. He's playing corner right now. I like him more as a safety. Malachi Moore of Alabama is another guy. If I get some of these schools wrong because they transferred, you got to give me a little slack here because, again, like I said, you know, these guys, this is the way I have them listed at the school. So when I do my summer film work, I have them in my database at that school. I don't have to search all over the place. It'll be right by September.
Absolutely. All right. So, Tony, before we say goodbye here, we went through, you know, great job, you know, nailing through a lot of those players. What do you think is the besides Caleb Williams, I think is the easy one, right? What's going to be kind of the big story we'll be tracking all year when it comes to this draft?
Let's just assume that the quarterbacks develop as we hope, as we think they can develop. You mentioned Caleb Williams. You got May from Drake May of North Carolina. You got Quinton Ewers of Texas. Those are three first-round quarterbacks. Michael Penix of Washington. Bo Nix of Oregon. J.J. McCarthy of Michigan. Will Rogers of Mississippi State. I mean, next year, if we assume that these quarterbacks elevate their game, take the next step, and don't do a Will Levis in the pre-draft process, I mean, and I hate to say this because I think quarterbacks are overdrafted, but the way I look at my board right now, I mean, you're talking about potentially six or seven quarterbacks in the first round of the 2024 draft. Wow. If it plays out as people, Ben Bryant of Cincinnati, Ben Bryant came into the season with second day two grades from scouts after transferring from Eastern Michigan to Cincinnati, had an okay year, decided to go back. I mean, Ben Bryant is a gunslinger, throws the ball down the field. That's one of the reasons why Josh Wiley, the tight end, fell, because Ben Bryant likes to throw the ball down the field. He's a vertical passer. I mean, you are talking Sam Hartman of Notre Dame, right? I mean, doesn't have great size, but just gets the job done. What if Sam Hartman goes to Notre Dame, just plays great, Heisman Trophy candidate, you know, keeps Notre Dame in national contention, and then goes on to have a pre-draft process. There's another guy. I don't know. I don't think he's a first-round pick, but he's going to be an early pick.
Yeah, Tony, let me tell you, going back and we watched A.T. Perry last year, right? You watch A.T. Perry? Hartman's good. Like, he puts the ball where he needs to put it. He is an accurate thrower.
Forget about last year. Check out the past 3 years. It's not like he was a one-and-done guy. I mean, he was a good quarterback for 3 years at Wake Forest. And then I think made the surprising decision to stay in school and went to Notre Dame, which, you know, if he brings Notre Dame to the heights that everybody wants and thinks Notre Dame can be, he's going to be a folk hero. But, you know, Blake Whitehart, the tight end as well, had a great year because of Sam Hartman. Hartman is a real good quarterback. The problem with him is size. But, hey, you know what? Look at the first pick of the draft this year. You know, 5'10", 190 pounds. Playing weight. So, I mean, I think teams are willing to look away if quarterback brings those intangibles, if quarterback brings that productivity, if quarterback brings the ball security, and that's what Sam Hartman does.
Other than quarterback, what's your favorite position group at this early time?
Oof, I'm going to, let me clear my board here and bring it up. Not well, all that well versed. Early on, obviously tight end with Brock Bowers and Jaylen Sanders. It looks like it's going to be a mixed bag next year because I'm
Okay.
looking at my board, quarterback, tackle, wide receiver, defensive end, quarterback, tight end, outside linebacker, tight end, wide receiver. It doesn't look like there's one dominant position in the early going.
How about anything particularly weak that teams would, if you need this, you're going to be a little worried?
Obviously, safety, as we talked about, there's no safety that projects as a first round pick. Defensive tackle doesn't look like it's going to be a very deep defensive tackle class.
Is that becoming a trend here, Tony? Defensive tackle? Because I think the last couple of years that, there just aren't as many of these big guys coming out.
Well, it's because the way the colleges use them. So,
Right.
what the NFL draft and the NFL game is just a reflection of what's coming out of college. I think also, wide receiver. We were so spoiled with such tremendous receiver classes the past couple of years, and that's been reflective in the NFL with with so many receivers going early when they deserve to go early, and some of the money that's being paid to receivers. This year's class, there was no true number one receiver. Next year, everyone's going to talk about Marvin Harrison, but it kind of falls off a cliff after that. I don't, right now, I mean, we could see some guys develop, but right now it looks like it's, there's no Marvin Harrison in this year's class, but right now I don't see four receivers worthy of a first round pick in the 2024 draft.
All right, Tony, I'm going to leave the floor open to you. We went through a whole year here. First time we did a full season, which was a lot of fun. I hope we kept track of things, everybody. Your thoughts as we wrap up 2023 here and just kind of start to think about 2024 after we take a few very well-deserved months off.
I mean, I think people need to realize, we went through draft grades the prior show, and we're talking about the draft is just the beginning. The draft is not the ending, and everybody goes crazy over, their team's draft. We'll see what happens in September. And also, give it more than 3 weeks. Give it more than a month before,
Give it
you
more
come
than a
to
year.
it. Listen, Bill Parcells was famous for saying it takes 3 years. Now people want to know, even some owners, unfortunately, want to know the results in 3 weeks to 3 months. It takes longer than that, although I don't know that we're ever going to get back to that 3 year, 3 year period. I think what's going to happen is when the NCAA instituted that rule that gave athletes another year of eligibility, it's going to take, I believe, 2 more years to flush that system out because, you don't know which players are going back for a second senior season. So boards could be in mayhem for a while, and guys who don't have good senior years will go back. So I think it's going to take a while to kind of flush it out. And it'll be interesting, as I said in the beginning, if we have a repeat of what we saw this year with underclassmen going back for the end because of big NIL deals, seniors going back because of NIL deals. If we have that in 2024, that draft is going to be a lot weaker. We had Jim Nagy. I mean, when we talked to Jim Nagy said it was a disaster trying to, plan at some positions because he didn't know which guys were going back. But if they enter the draft, you got to be really excited about the 2024 draft. I mean, here we're talking, it's the middle of May, and I already have, 75 guys graded as day one, two, or three picks. At this point in time, it's usually half that number.
Wow. And I'll say this too. You mentioned that people like to throw the word bust on these players a lot, and you get these negative impressions of a player. And yeah, look, in the end, it's on the player, but fit and situation matters so much
Of
for so
course.
many of these guys to get coached well, to not
That's
have
it.
schemes changed on them, to get put in the right scheme, to have a good position coach, to have patience, have organizational structure around them, especially for quarterbacks. All of that matters. And just because a guy doesn't end up panning out the way you think, not is doesn't necessarily mean it was a bad pick or it was a player's fault. Sometimes the situation is just so poor that it makes it very difficult, or health is part of it too, right? It makes it difficult for a player to succeed.
Listen, go back to what I said when we were reviewing all the drafts in the league. I said, there are some franchises like the Baltimore Ravens who just can't seem to hit on the receiver position. And they go year after year after year after year selecting receivers. The Pittsburgh Steelers, a great organization, have struggled to take a cornerback early in the draft and develop those cornerbacks. They just can't seem to do it.
And by the way, that's with the head coach who used to be a defensive backs coach.
Right. Yeah, and then you get, you know, people say, well, teams missed on Brock Purdy. Nobody missed on Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy just happened to fall in the best situation possible. You know, if Brock Purdy was selected by the New York Jets in the fourth or fifth round of the 2022 draft, he's not the same. You can't tell me he's going to be the same player that he is under Kyle Shanahan at San Francisco. And that goes to your point about the coaching and the development. There are some teams that or some organizations just seem to have the Midas touch at certain positions. Tampa Bay with the small school offensive lineman. So, yeah, I mean, people talk about busts, but a lot of times the organizations just don't know how to develop or coach the players properly.
Yeah, it is an inexact science. It is an art. Guys, I hope you guys enjoyed our podcast over the past, oh boy, what is it, almost 8 months now, getting you ready for this draft class. We'll be back in August as the college football season, you know, gets revved up. Hopefully we'll get a chance to get Bruce Feldman on again and talk about his freaks list to kick off our year. And then we'll guide you the rest of the way. I hope you learned a lot. I know I learned a lot from Tony. It was fun working with him. We'll see if we can figure out a way to get a third guy in here next year to have a little three-way conversation. We're working on that. Or maybe we'll just kind of rotate in different guests each week during the year too. We'll figure it out. But Tony, last word to you before we say goodbye.
Listen, I hope everybody has a good summer. I'm actually going to take a little time off, but not too much time. I mean, 2 weeks from now, maybe 3 weeks from now, I'll be back hitting the film, getting ready for 2024 draft. It's like working out. You know, but when I'm at the gym, somebody says, "Are you done?" I'm like, "Well, you ever really done?" You go, "Oh, yeah. You're doing it. You're just taking a couple of 20 hours off, and you're back at it." Same thing with the draft. The draft is never really over. People like me, it's just there's a little bit of a break, and then we start to get ready for 2024. John, it's been great. I hope the viewers have enjoyed it. I hope we were able to increase their knowledge about the NFL draft, and I look forward to that, to the 2024 draft, I should say. Not next year. We're already in next year.
Yeah, we try to educate, inform, and evaluate, and hope you guys had a lot of fun. I know we did. Hope you learned a lot, too. I'll be diving into OTAs and minicamp here with the Giants, but in my spare time, I got my list from Tony. I have my homework for what guys to take a look at here for the 2024 NFL draft. For Tony Pauline, I'm John Schmelk. Thanks for being with us during this entire draft process. The 2023 draft season is over. In a few months, the 2024 draft season will begin, and we'll see you then.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.